I realize that Thanksgiving went by a couple of days ago, and you all know that I did not get to preach last Sunday, so I certainly did not preach a Thanksgiving message. Sean did a wonderful job, and the theme that God laid upon his heart, and it's just a thrill to see how God has raised up Sean and Scott from Dave and Becky to be two men of God that are holding forth the word of God. And I don't know, did Sean make it to New Orleans yet? Where'd Dave go? They're supposed to arrive tonight. The last report I had seen, they were down in South Carolina. But they took off out of here on Monday morning, headed for New Orleans and the new ministry that God has given to them down there. And so I appreciate, and I was glad that Sean had the opportunity last Sunday to preach. So that means today you are going to get a Thanksgiving message. And I trust that that you will reflect this morning on Thanksgiving with me. And as we do that, we need a definition. You need to be able to read it, so let's put it up there where you can read it. What does it mean to be thankful? It means to show gratitude, to be grateful, to be impressed with a sense of kindness that has been received and acknowledge it. And we need to have that word thanks in our mind all the time. We need to be ready to say thank you. It needs to be a common part of our life. As our parents told us to say please, they also told us to say thank you, did they not? For even the smallest of kindnesses received, we should say thank you. So thanksgiving is rendering thanks for good things that you and I have received. Now to do that, let us reflect first of all on the object of thanksgiving. The object of thanksgiving, who is it that really we are to be thankful to? And obviously your answer should be God, right? God is the one that you and I should be thankful to. And so let us support that this morning with a verse of scripture as we turn quickly over to Psalm 30 and verse 4. I realize some can turn quicker than others, but I'm going to read quickly. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Do you ever wonder why we include songs in a worship service? Because God told us to. Because singing is very important. David was a man of music. David loved music. David wrote music. Many of the psalms are songs that David wrote and David sang, and David taught the children of Israel to sing. And then it says, give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So we are to praise God and we are to give thanks. And the two go together, do they not? Praise and thanksgiving. Now I know that a lot of churches have groups up front that they call the praise and worship team. Well, all of us are to be doing that, not just a group of people up here that are extra good singers. All of us are to be giving praise and thanksgiving unto his holy name. And so God is the object of our thanksgiving. Now, note some other things about that God. Not only is he a holy God, but he's a wonder-working God. And so we turn to Psalm 75 and verse 1. Psalm 75 and verse 1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare your name is near. I don't know about you, but I'd love to watch sunrises and sunsets when I'm in the right place to see it. Where we live at the parsonage, we got enough trees around it kind of blocks the sun up, but it really blocks the sun down. But if you just happen to be going down Ballyhack at the right time in the evening and look down through the valley there, sometimes we see the most beautiful sunsets. And this month of November has had an unusual number of absolutely beautiful sunrises and sunsets. And so we look around and we see the wondrous works of God. We look at the little things and we watch the plants grow in the house and the flowers open up. And we look at those beautiful Christmas cactuses that are in blossom right now. Some of them we call Thanksgiving cactuses because they're in full bloom at Thanksgiving time. Some of them, again, are in full bloom at Easter time. That works out great too, doesn't it? But you sit there and you look at those blossoms as they unfold, triple some of them. Or you may look at some others. Think about the forsythia. How many of you had forsythia blossom this week? Yeah. A little crazy, isn't it? But that's because we've got the warmest November on record. I don't mind. I hope you don't mind. Amen. We'll get snow soon enough, you snow lovers. But you can keep your snow. I like things that show life, not white. I know that Snow White is a reflection of a, I don't even have a clean piece of paper here, but I realize it's a reflection of God's holiness and God's purity. So there again, the wondrous works of God. Did you ever think about snow? The wondrous works of God. Everywhere you turn, we who are Christians know that God is the creator. Nothing came by evolution. Everything came by the creative hand of our maker. And so we see the wondrous works of God wherever we are, and they remind us to be thankful. And then third, he is the Most High God. The Most High God. Now, are there other gods? Well, in the minds of people, yes. And I remind you always that what other people call God is not God. If the God that they're talking about is not the God of this book, then he's not God. But there are people who have gods in their mind. Probably the strangest thing is to worship something that you make out of your own, with your own hands. Come on now, that makes you God over that God, doesn't it? And then you and I know that we're not God. But there are religions, systems that teach that we become gods. The Mormons do that, teach that you could become a god. And if you worked yourself up for enough layers and levels, you could even have your own little planet somewhere and start your own civilization. Come on now. You all know better than that. And I know better than that. And so he is the Most High God. He is the creator of the universe. Look at Psalm 92 in verse 1. You've had time to look and I've been talking. But Psalm 92 in verse 1. It is good to give thanks to Jehovah and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, great Elohim, O Most High, the Most High God. And then a few pages on over to chapter 106. He is the merciful God. And aren't you glad for God's mercy? Amen. Psalm 106 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy. What is his mercy? Relieving you from all of the things that you deserve. All the trials and tribulations that you deserve. All of the trouble that could come your way that doesn't because of his merciful hand staying it. You think about the trials and tribulations that you could have had. Don't look at all the ones you have had. But think about the ones you could have had that other people have. And you say to yourself, God has been so good to me, so merciful to me. God is a merciful God. And so he is the object of our thanksgiving. Amen? Amen? Now we need to reflect on the agency of our thanksgiving. What do we mean by the agency? Well, first of all, we talked about the who. Now we're going to talk about the how. The how. What do we mean by how? Well, how came the goodness of God that you and I are to be thankful for. How did it come to us? Well, I think you know where I'm going to go with this. First of all, it came to us through Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we look over at Romans chapter 8. Or Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now notice the Apostle Paul is thanking God for the testimony of the Roman Christians. Now, at the point that he wrote this, he had not been there yet. You know that it was Paul's goal to be able to go to Rome and to preach the gospel. But you read the book of Acts at the very end, and he finally made it, didn't he? But he made it in what? Handcuffs, or chains, as he calls them. He made it as a prisoner, not as a preacher. Did he have any ministry when he got there? He most certainly did. In fact, about a half of the epistles that Paul wrote, he wrote from prison in Rome. Did he have a ministry? Yes, he did. He had a ministry to a variety of people who came to visit him. He led one of the fellow prisoners to the Lord. Who was that? That was Onesimus. Remember him? The runaway slave of Philemon. And so Paul, even in his bonds, even though he was bound and he was imprisoned and locked up, he had a ministry. And what's that tell you and me? No matter where you and I are, no matter what we are doing, no matter what our job is, what our neighbors are, what our family situation is, we have a ministry. We have a place to serve God. We have a way to serve God through Jesus Christ. And so the agency is through Christ. And then we'll add a couple, and you notice we're going to change the preposition from through to by. And that's in Colossians 3:17. We're going to refer to Colossians 3:17 several times. Do you know why? Well, you'll see why when you get to Colossians 3:17, why it has several applications. And whatever you do, in word or deed, that covers everything in our life, doesn't it? That covers all day long. That covers everywhere we go. That covers whatever we do. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Any question that there's more than one person to the Godhead? God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and somewhere else we run into God the Holy Spirit, of course. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, and that's, you may wonder, why did we read Hebrews 13? Well, because it contained verse 5. And so you read it this morning, and we ended it with that wonderful benediction. We didn't go to the end of the chapter quite, but the chapter ends with grace be with you all, amen. But look again at verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. What is covetousness? Wanting what somebody else has. Dissatisfaction with what you have in life. Dissatisfaction with what you possess. Dissatisfaction with who you're married to. Dissatisfaction with your job. Dissatisfaction with your car. Dissatisfaction with your house. Get the picture? And all of the advertisement and commercials on television and in print are all designed for what? To make you dissatisfied. They are in direct opposition to the Word of God, which says, be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you have or don't have, no matter what you gain or what you lose, the focus needs to be on who? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our thanksgiving is to come to God the Father through God the Son. And then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. You say, where is that? Well, it's after Galatians and before Philippians. Does that help? Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's the how. That's the agency of our thanksgiving. We're to give thanks through Jesus Christ to God the Father. Now let's reflect on the place of our thanksgiving. And this is where we look at the where and the when. The where and the when. All right, let's first of all look at the fact that you and I are to give thanks in private worship. Now, I'm not sure how public got in there instead of private, but we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6. And verse 10, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, Daniel comes after Ezekiel. If that'll help you find Daniel. It's not a very big book, 12 chapters. Daniel 6. Now, if you know about Daniel, then you know that Daniel chapter 6 is where he gets thrown in the lion's den. Now, sometimes you and I feel like we've been thrown in the lion's den, right? Things just all go wrong at once. Trouble in the family, trouble at the job, trouble with friends, and we just feel down in the depths of despair. But notice Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew, verse 10, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, in other words, apparently his second floor bedroom, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, where is Daniel? Well, today you would call it Iran, Iran. In those days it was Persia. He is somewheres near the palace in Persia. He's in his own home, apparently. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now notice this last line, as was his custom since early days. Daniel was about 15 years old, the best we can figure out, when he was taken prisoner and carted off from his home in Israel and taken to Babylon. And he served under three kings in Babylon. He served under two or three more kings in the Medes and the Persians Empire. He served at least five different leaders and maybe even more, and was always faithful. But from his youth, at the age of 15, Daniel purposed in his heart, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You get a message there? Here it says that this was his habit, his custom since early days, to pray three times a day, kneeling toward Jerusalem. Now, you do not have to kneel toward Jerusalem to pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, we are to pray without ceasing. So that means everywhere we are and whatever we're doing, we're to pray. All right, now there on the screen you have public worship. Public worship. I don't know how we missed private worship, but public worship. We're looking at the where and the when that we're to give thanks. So we're to give thanks in public worship. Psalm 35:18, as you have on the screen. Psalm 35, 18. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among many people. So this is public worship, that you and I are to praise and honor God. And then the last psalm, Psalm 150 and verse 1. Psalm 150 and verse 1. And I don't know about you, even though we don't have a band in our church, if you say people shouldn't, then you need to read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. What is the world is a firmament. We find that word in Genesis 1:1 or Genesis 1:4, I believe it is. What is the firmament? Well, I like our little three-letter word better, don't you? Sky. So what's that mean? Out of doors, in the woods, on the hilltops, in the field, out in the backyard. Many, many years ago, I visited my brother Paul Blasco in his office over at Twin. And he's a photographer, if you don't know. Awesome photographer of God's nature. And he had painted on the wall about as long as that, as I recall, a picture of some of the great mountains in Alaska. And then in the forefront, he's standing there with his hands raised in praise to God. I'll never forget that, brother. And I'm sure you miss that. But what was he expressing? He was expressing the awesomeness of God as he's evidenced to us in creation. And as I've driven down the roads throughout this month, at the right time in the evening, or for one reason or another, been out where I could see these awesome sunsets. And I literally, if I'm by myself, I say it out loud. And if I'm with others, I probably don't. But you can ask my son. I point out the beauty of sunrise and sunset whenever he and I have been out hunting the last week. God's glory. Awesomeness. I know it's got to be hard for those people that live in cities where they can't see what you and I can see. You and I have privileges that a lot of people don't have. One privilege is we have eyes to see with. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we're never going to finish this if I don't get going. What should have been number three is number two here. But in every way, every day. Now, I said we're going to look at Colossians 3:17 several times. Well, here we are again. Colossians 3:17. We've been there once. We're going to be there, I think, one more time before I'm done. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God, giving God the glory, giving thanks, it says here, to the Father through Christ. Remember, Christ is the agency of thanksgiving. We give our thanks through Christ. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says that you and I have been accepted in the Beloved. Who's the beloved one? Jesus Christ, the beloved of the Father. And so we give thanks through Christ. He's the agent. We go to him. Now, you all know that there's a religious system out there that thinks you have to go through Mary to get to God the Father. But that's not what it says in Timothy. Timothy says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a redemption for you and for me. that you and I might be accepted, amen? That we might be able to go to God the Father through Christ by the assistance of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, 26 and 27. So in every way and in every day, you and I are to give thanks. And of course, that leads you back again to the companion, which is Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wanted another one, I believe over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, if my mind's right. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Gentiles or to the church of God. Those are the three groups of people in the world, Jew, Gentile, and church. And when you're reading scripture, make sure you know what verses go to which group. It'll work a whole lot better that way. And so that brings you, there it is, look at that. Showed up at the bottom instead of the top. Well, there's one more. In everything, you and I are to give thanks. And if you want, look there at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He says it to the Corinthians. He says it to the Ephesians. He says it to the Colossians. And now he says it to the Thessalonians. Do you think it was a theme in Paul's mind that we're to give thanks to God for everything? Now, in everything, give thanks. Is it hard to give thanks for some things? Yes. But when you're going through it, when you're in it, you're to give thanks to God. Why? Because you know, number one, he's there with you. You know, number two, he's going to bring you through it. And you know, number three, he's got some purpose. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, right? That the trial of your faith is what? Much more precious than gold. I heard somebody whisper. Much more precious than gold. Now, what are we all working for? Gold. Except in this day and age, it's all green and gray paper, isn't it? But we're working for... And God says, my putting you through the trials and tribulations of life have a weight of glory that you should be able to bear it because I have a purpose in it for you. I'm going to accomplish something good for you. And when it's all said and done and you stand before me at the great judgment seat of Christ, you're going to find out that it turned out to be worth gold, silver, and precious stone. And you'll be rewarded for all of that. Well, we have almost time. We're going to reflect on the theme. This is the what. We've looked at the who, the how, the where, the when. Now let's look at the what. What do we give thanks for? Well, Psalm 30, verse 4 tells us to give thanks for God's holiness. And you'll see that the next two are in Psalms, so we can just all turn to Psalms, right? Psalm 30 and verse 4. Sing. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Have you ever thought of what it would be like if God wasn't holy? What if God was like the gods of the Greeks? Or the gods of Islam? Which tells you to behead everybody who doesn't agree with you. Is that the kind of God you got? Is that the kind of God you want? No, we have a holy God. We have a God who says, love one another. We have a God who says, all ye who labor, come unto me and I will give you rest. We have a God who says, take my yoke upon you. What kind of a yoke do you suppose he was talking about? He was talking about the kind where you put two together. In other words, God says, team up with me. Lock yourself in beside of me and walk with me. That's what God says when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me and be, you'll learn I am gentle. So if he's gentle and we're in yoke with him, then we are to be what? Gentle. If God is patient, then you and I are to be patient. If God is loving, you and I are to be loving. If God is holy, you and I are to be holy. You get the picture? And so we are to thank God for his holiness. We're to thank God that he is holy and not like the gods of the people around us that they worship. And then secondly, we are to thank God for his mercy and goodness. And we talked about his mercy a while ago. But just remember, as a merciful God, he's withheld from us a lot of terrible stuff. Being a gracious God, he's given to us a lot of stuff we don't deserve. We don't deserve his love, but he's given it to us. We don't deserve his care, but he cares for us. We don't deserve his provision, but he's provided for us. We don't deserve his health, but he's healed us. You get the picture? We're to thank God because of his holiness, because of his mercy, because of his goodness. How about victory? You know, sometimes we as Christians act defeated, don't we? But we're not to be defeated. We're to live a life of victory. We sang this morning, no, we didn't. I was going to say we sang the song Victory in Jesus. No, we didn't. We sang that other song, right, Tim? The one that Tim got started a little bit high for some of us.
And way off.
Oh, no, you started out good, Tim. It just got restarted a little wrong. God's victory. And I'll give you some sub-points. Over the power of sin. You and I cannot resist sin without his help, can we? We need his help to have power over sin. We need his help to have power over Satan. I think most of you are aware of the dirty deeds of the devil, of the work that Satan is doing all around you constantly, every day, of the fact that Satan is trying to trip you up and get you to sin so he can run up to God and say, ha ha, look what Dan did. And then Jesus whispers in his father's ear and he says, I already paid for that. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Amen. Victory over death in the grave. We all know that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death, where's your victory? The victory of the grave is sin. Oh, sin, where's your strength? And then verse 57 tells us that Christ has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Victory. And then go to the next page. God's provision. God's providential care. And you can read down through Psalm 106. We're not going to go there, but I want you to know that and Psalm 105 are two great passages to read to be reminded that God saved his people from Egypt. And the Bible says he led them out with a mighty hand. And you said, wait a minute, I thought Moses led him out. Hey, Moses didn't go anywhere that cloud didn't tell him to go.
Amen.
And when that cloud turned south and led them down that wadi toward the Gulf of Aqaba, I'm sure that Moses and those leaders around him were saying, what are we doing this for? I don't know. That's where the cloud's taking us. We follow the cloud. And then we know that God was in the cloud. Pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. You couldn't miss the leading of God, and yet the children of Israel forgot about. They got so used to seeing it, they forgot that God was there. And they started doing some awful things, didn't they? But God led them out of Egypt, and he deliberately led them to the shore of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is not the Reed Sea, and the Red Sea is not 18 inches deep. The Red Sea is the Gulf of Aqaba. We have the proof now. There's the evidence of the chariots and the horse bones and the people bones all laying there on the bottom of the Gulf of Aqaba at that one point. So we know where the children of Israel crossed. We know where the pillars were that Solomon set up that described the whole crossing of the Red Sea. There's one on the western side and one over across on the other side, on the Arabian side. And of course, the Arabians have no longer letting Christians and other people in there when they found out that it was a Christian monument, so to speak, or a believer's monument. But we know where the crossing of the Red Sea was. And then we know that later on, 40 years later, he brings them to the Jordan River at flood stage. And the Jordan River normally is like Shenango out here, even narrower than the Shenango River outside of church here. And yet during flood stage, you all have been through the flood of 2006 and 2011. You know what that's all about. And that's when God brings them and says, put your toes in the water. And they put their toes in the water, and God opened up a dry path again, just like he did at the Red Sea. And they marched across. How can you miss the hand of God? God's providential care. You say, well, God didn't do that for me. I'm sure that if you stopped and think about the things God has brought you through, you'll begin to realize you've had your own Red Seas and your own Jordan Rivers, and God has provided and God has done for you amazing things. You know, sometimes we forget to look back and give praise. And then think about God delivering the children of Israel from Babylon. Now in Jeremiah, you have the prophecy that God was going to take Judah and allow Babylon to come in and destroy Jerusalem and take Judah captive, and that they would be captive for 70 years in the land of Babylon. And at the end of 70 years, God would deliver them and let them come back to the land of Israel. Well, guess what? It happened just like God said in Jeremiah. And you read about it over in Daniel. And Daniel was reading Jeremiah, and Daniel says, whoa, this is the year 70. And he goes to the king, and he shows the king what the scripture says, and he says, look here, king, your name is in here. And this was written 100 years before you were born. And the king was so impressed, he said, take your people and take them back where they belong, and here's some money for you. You say, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it is. Not in my language, but in Bible language. Go read it for yourself. So God delivered them from Babylon. And then God's temporal blessing for you and for me as we close. What do we mean by God's temporal blessing? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 11. While you were enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. What is Paul saying? He's saying God blessed you And you gave to us, which causes us to give thanks to God. And I did that this morning. In fact, I wrote it right there in the bulletin, right down there. Thank you, all who gave Nancy and me gifts last week. Why in the world did you give us gifts? Well, I suspect because God's blessed you. God's blessed you. And you chose to bless Nancy and I. Thank you very much again. So we give thanks to God and we give thanks to you because of your generosity and your kindness to us. But you couldn't do what you did for us if God had not provided for you. Amen? Amen. So you are best be giving thanks to God. And then we give thanks to God because you gave thanks to God in your kindness to us. Do I have a conclusion? Yes, I do. Try it again. Forget it. It's gone. We are the givers of praise and thanksgiving. Only believers can offer acceptable praise to God. And we've looked at Colossians 3:17 now for the third time. Whether you do it in word or in deed, no matter what it is, you and I are to give praise to God. Amen? Amen. In everything, give praise and thanksgiving, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This morning, let us bow our heads in prayer and give God the thanks. His great gift is his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father God, we come before you today, and we give you thanks. We give you gratitude because you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Our Father God, I pray this morning that if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl in our church, in our building, in our midst, in our ministry here, who does not know you as Lord and Savior of their heart yet, that right now, Father, your Holy Spirit would be speaking into their heart and convince them of their need of a Savior and prompt them to open their heart and say, Christ, come into my life. You died for me. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you are the Son of God. And I now ask that you will make me your child and forgive me of my sins. Father, I pray you that you will do that work in their heart even at this moment. May you get the honor and the praise for all that you have done for us and will continue to do for us until the rapture, when we are caught up to meet you in the air, and so shall we ever be with our Lord. Bless your people. Help them to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and be fruitful in every good work and increase in their knowledge of you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.